In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fourth week of the Pentecostal period, and the Church reads for us, as we're celebrating the joy of the Lord's resurrection. Each week has a different theme. This week's theme is the light of the world. Christ is being the light of the world. The passage comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, and the part immediately before this, so this is verse 35, the part immediately before this, Christ was predicting his death, and he was telling the disciples about his upcoming death on the cross and so on. And he explained to them how he must be lifted up and all must be drawn to him. He says, "What if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." So Christ will be lifted up on the cross and will draw everyone to himself, kind of like a magnet. And this kind of brings to my mind the bronze serpent in the Old Testament. If you remember that story, the people of Israel were in the Sinai desert at the time, and they began to complain against Moses and God, and they said what? They said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food or no water. Our souls loathe with this worthless bread." You know what this worthless bread was? This is the manna that God gave them from heaven. So it got to the point where they looked at what God gave them from heaven as being worthless. As being worthless. And I think today, in the gospel, it puts before us a choice of two paths. A choice of two paths. It says, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." So the Church tells us that Christ is the light of the world, but then also tells us that you have a choice to walk either in the path of light or the path of darkness. Let's take a look at these two paths. And then, of course, the question we ask ourselves is, by which path am I going to walk in my life? But let's take a look at both of these paths. First, the path of darkness. Why would anyone walk in the path of darkness? Why would anybody willingly and want to walk in the path of darkness? The Lord tells us this in his discussion with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He tells Nicodemus what? "For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So the person who likes to walk in darkness, he walks in darkness because he doesn't want to be exposed. He doesn't want to be, found out. He doesn't want to be caught or anything. And this is why you'll find the majority of crimes happen at night. The majority of sins happen when? At night. That's why Christ, over and over again in the gospel, he tells us to beware, right? To be awake, to be vigilant. For the second coming, he says, is like a thief coming when? At night, right? The time when it's unexpected. At night, you'll find all of our guard is down and we're not as vigilant. So those who walk in darkness do so because they don't want to be exposed. Do I do any deeds in the dark? And I mean here in the dark, not necessarily after a sunset, but I'm meaning in the darkness of my heart, where I don't want to confess, or I can't confess, or I don't want to go to Abuna and confess about it because I know what he's going to say, and I don't want to face the words that he's going to say. But my beloved, let me remind you that the conscience itself is rebuking you, and this is what you actually have to answer to in the Holy Spirit in the judgment day. So if you come and say, "I don't want to face Abuna," but your conscience in and of itself is witnessing against you because you yourself know that I don't want to do it, or I know that it's wrong, but yet I still do it. Those who walk in darkness do so because they don't want to be exposed. Another question we can ask about darkness, or sometimes we tell ourselves, is that, can I avoid the light with no consequences? So I don't want to walk in darkness, but I want to avoid the light. Can somebody avoid the light without any consequences? No. There are some Christians out there who buy into a dangerous philosophy that we can do so. we can avoid the light without any consequences. How can we live in sin and still have fellowship with God? My beloved, there's no share with light and darkness. There's no share with sin and righteousness. Those who in heaven are enjoying, or those in paradise are enjoying time that is free from sin and free from temptation. There cannot be both living together. Listen to what our teacher John the Apostle tells us in his first letter. He says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if we say we have fellowship with Him, but yet we walk in darkness, then we're lying. We're lying to ourselves. Because there's no fellowship with light and darkness. So no, I can't simply avoid the light and then say that there'll be no consequences. Because at the end of the day, you and I know that the way of darkness always has destruction and death in the end. There is no sin that Satan says, okay, if you commit this sin, I'll be satisfied and I don't want you to commit any more sin. But no, he wants one sin to drag another, one sin to drag another, until it leads us to depression, hopelessness, corruption, killing ourselves or committing suicide, and so on. Speaking of suicide, you guys will get an email soon in the mail. I want everybody to read it, please. It's about a new series on Netflix that is very dangerous, and I hope that as parents, we're very vigilant in what our children are watching. I don't recall the name of the show, but I've read reviews about it, and it's basically it's glorifying suicide as a way out. And this ultimately is what Satan's end is. Because if we commit suicide, then we have no hope. We tell God directly in His face, what you did on the cross and what you offer me on your table here is of no value and it can't save me. So actually, it's only these people, these individuals who commit suicide that the church doesn't pray on. Because they lose the hope in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to share that with you, God willing, this week. I hope that all the parents will take a look at it. The fourth, about if we cannot only avoid the light, the next question some people may ask was, can I simply stand in darkness? I want to stand in darkness for just a little bit, for just a certain period of time. When I'm with my friends or whatever, and I'm at this particular outing or this particular place, I want to stand in darkness just for a little bit of time and then come out. If you remember our father and mother, Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God and they ate of the forbidden fruit, what did God do immediately afterwards? He asked them, of course, He asked them about what happened, and they answered Him and blamed each other and blamed the serpent. And then immediately afterward, He expelled them from the Garden of Eden. Some people look and say, oh gosh, how is God so cruel? Just for one mistake, He expels them out of the Garden of Eden. But look at the reason why He expels them from the garden. He says, and now, lest He put out His hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So He sent them out, lest he eat of the tree of life. Because what happens when he eats from the tree of life, he will live forever in his current state. So he will live forever in this state of darkness, in this state of separation from God. So God, as a favor to him, He excused him from the Garden of Eden until his work of salvation is complete. And now you and I enjoy the paradise open to us once more after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those who say, I want to simply stand in darkness, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. We can't stand in darkness, we can't stand in sin and expect not to be affected by it and not for it to attract us. Those who choose darkness bring condemnation upon themselves. Listen to what the Lord again says to Nicodemus. He says, and this is the condemnation of who? The condemnation of mankind. God, are you the one who's going to condemn mankind? Listen to what he says. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. So the condemnation is that men love darkness rather than light when light came into the world. So I see the light and I turn from the light and I go the other way. those who love darkness more than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So walking in light is imperative to us and is imperative to our salvation. We must walk as children of light. We must walk in the light in order for us to enjoy the salvation and the resurrection that God has shared with us all. So what about those who walk in light? Those who walk in the light walk with a sense of urgency. Walk with a sense of urgency. I have a son who's about 6 years old, and I can't fire him up for the world. There's nothing that can make him rush. You know, I can scream, I can yell, I can threaten him to punish him. Everything is just cool and relaxed. There's no rush. And maybe some of you have children like that, or maybe some of you are like that yourselves. But there's nothing that makes them run with a sense of urgency. Look what the Lord says. He says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. It is almost as if what? Walk in light, because what? Darkness is chasing after you. It indicates that there's some sense of urgency here. You know what it's like? Again, it's like traveling or driving at, like, if you're going on a really long trip, like over like 12, 13, 14 hours. A lot of us will wake up in the morning early so we can drive the longest amount of time during the day. And then when it gets to the night, we rest or we go to a hotel and sleep. So there's this sense of urgency. I need to wake up early to get the most benefit out of the daylight that I can. And this is exactly how our spiritual life is. It's our responsibility that the light has come into the world, but do we have this sense of urgency about our spiritual life? You and I, the time of our life is determined. It's set. Every day that we live, we get closer and closer to the time of our departure and the time in which we will meet God. Some of us don't realize that one day drags another, one day drags another, and we procrastinate and say, tomorrow I'll do, and the next day I'll do so and so, until we end up with just a little bit less time in our life. So we need to work with this sense of urgency, that the light is dwindling and darkness is coming behind us. The same thing happened in the Old Testament with Lot. So if you remember, with Lot and his family, the angels came after they spoke with Abraham, and the Lord negotiated with Abraham, and they didn't find 10 people in the city. The two angels went to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah to preach to them and tell them to get out of the city because God is going to destroy the city. And then, of course, as we know the story, the men, of course, in the city were very wicked and tried to capture these two angels or these two men. And then they ended up going into Lot's house. And then the angels closed the door and cast blindness on those people who wanted to break down the door. Even after this miracle of blindness and saving Lot and his family from the men that were trying to break in, when the angels told them, get out now, exclamation point in the Bible, what does it say? It says, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought them out and set him outside of the city. So the angel came in and said, get out now because the city is going to be destroyed. And Lot, with no sense of urgency, lingered, to the point where the angel had to grab them all by the hand and drag them out of the city. You know, if it wasn't for Abraham and God's mercy on Lot, he would have been destroyed because of his lack of sense of urgency. He didn't respond immediately. How many of us have a sin? How many of us have a sin that, you know, we say, I'll commit or I'll confess about this tomorrow? Or maybe when I grow up, this will go away. That we have to have the sense of urgency. We have to do it today. How many of us say, I want to start a new life of prayer with the Lord? Or a new, you know, program to read the Bible and learn? But yet, it's just talk, but no action. We have to have this sense of urgency. Tomorrow may never come. Let's act today while we can. Those who walk in light also have fellowship with God, have fellowship with Him. He says, St. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So walking in light means we have fellowship with Him. What does having fellowship with Him mean? Fellowship means like a friendly companionship. Are we friends with the Lord? Are we friends with Him? Do we speak to Him on a regular basis? When I'm in trouble or in danger or scared, is He the first person I go to? Or do I exhaust all of my earthly means and then if no one can help me, then I finally go to Him? Is He a friend? Is He a true friend and companion? We must have fellowship with Him. The third is having fellowship with one another. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. Having fellowship with one another, again, is having a friendly association. Do I have a blacklist of people in my mind? That I say, this person offended me, and now he's on the blacklist. And once somebody's on the blacklist, do they ever come off of the blacklist? I know people that once they're on the blacklist, it's like engraved and etched in stone. Even if the person came and did matanya before him and kissed his hand and his feet, it's still, you're on the blacklist, khalas, it's done. It's a done deal. Do we have this blacklist? Is there anybody in my mind that I hate? Is there anybody in my mind that I cannot forgive? The fellowship also means that I'm a peacemaker. Do I have peace with my brethren? Of course, the Bible tells us to have peace with one another as much as up to you. St. James says that. As much as up to you. If somebody doesn't want peace with me, then this is their problem, but I want to live in peace with everybody. Am I honest with my brethren? Friends are honest with one another. And this is one of the maybe the most valuable qualities of friendship is that we're honest. The people who, the one thing they want in most friends is their honesty. They want people to be honest in their friendship, not to be two-faced. Are we honest in our friendships with one another and our relationships with one another? The fourth quality of those who walk in light is that they expose darkness. They expose darkness. Exposing darkness means calling things as they are. One time there was a group of politicians that came to Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, and they wanted him to help them in a matter. So they started going back and forth, and the whole thing, their whole argument was going back and forth, was suppose this and suppose that, suppose this, suppose that. So they're going back and forth, and then finally they looked to the president and asked for him, his opinion. And he said to them, how many legs would a sheep have if the tail was considered a leg? Or if we called the tail a leg? All of them looked at each other. Five. It'd be five. And he said, no. Calling a leg or tail a leg doesn't make it one. Just because I'm going to tell you that the tail is a leg, it doesn't really make it one. But we call things as they are. The sheep is still going to have four legs, even if we call the tail and the head a leg. We can call it whatever we want to. Satan will try to change the wording of things, the wording of sin, to make it appealing and acceptable. But does it change the fact that it's a sin? Absolutely not. Calling things by different names does not change truly what it is. So somebody who exposes the darkness calls it as what it is. It's a sin. It's not right. A white lie is a lie. Right? Saying about, cheating on your taxes or whatever and avoiding to pay taxes, at the end of the day, it's cheating. I'm not, shatir, or I'm not, just good and crafty. We got to call things as they are. And not even as much or so much as in our community do we have to expose darkness, but rather expose the deeds of darkness within ourselves. St. Paul tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And the best way to expose the sins, the hidden sins within ourselves, is confession. Those who avoid confession or do not confess on a regular basis, they are deprived of exposing the sin and the darkness in their life. And we can go on avoiding talking about the darkness or addressing the darkness, but again, it doesn't change that the darkness is there. Only when it is exposed, then we can now shed light upon it, and the darkness will no longer be darkness, but will be light. We do that in confession. We expose our sins before the priest. And sometimes we'll go and sit with the priest, and we have a list of sins that I have committed that I want to confess to Abuna. And as I'm listing these sins, Abuna says, I feel there's something else going on here. I feel maybe you said all of these things, but I feel that they're connected with a little bit of pride. Although pride wasn't on my list, but you know what? He exposed the darkness that was hidden within me. What do we do in response? Do we say, I'm not coming back to him because he called me a prideful person, because he pointed a sin out to me, because he touched a sensitive part that I didn't want to confess, that I don't want to reveal, that I want to remain in darkness? We only do ourselves a disservice when we do this. Light reveals our filth. Not only confession, but also the light of Scripture. Those who read Scripture will know the standards of God, will know what is darkness and what is light. If I don't know Scripture, then I don't know what is darkness and light. I go by what I think it should be. But at the end of the day, we're not going to be judged by what we think, but we're going to be judged by God's command. Looking at the lives of the saints who are around us, and the icons here, looking at these individuals are a light to my life. Look at, for example, like Saint Bishoy, who persisted in his prayer and wouldn't allow himself to sleep so he can pray. How many times when I'm laying on my bed, I remember that I didn't pray, and I just continue and I close my eyes and say, I'll see you in the morning, Lord. Compare the two. This is light will shine in darkness. Also, sometimes a parent or good friend can be the light that we need. As young people, we often discredit our parents as being old-fashioned and out of date and old school and whatever. But to be honest with you, they have the experience of life far more greater than we do. They might see and hear things that I haven't had an opportunity to see and hear yet. They might see things that I didn't see yet. If we were going to visit a new country, and me and my wife were going to go visit, you know, whatever, South Africa, and I've never been there, I would find one of you that's been there and said, hey, what's in South Africa to see and what's there to do? Why? To get your experience, because you've been there. This is exactly what our parents and our forefathers and those who are older than us give us. When you experience this, what happened? And you'll find, if you open the lines of communication between parents and children, you'll find a lot of similarities despite the age difference or the culture gap. At the end of the day, God tells us we have two ways before us, the way of light and the way of darkness. And as it says in the Old Testament, I've put before you light and darkness. Choose life that you and your children may live. So we have here light and darkness. I'm telling us today to choose life that us and our children may live in the light of the Lord and enjoy this light, and it be a source of joy for all of us until we meet the Lord face to face. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.